in the Word of God. And this morning, what I thought I would do is I would take some time just to go into some kingdom principles, but to go to some actually basic kingdom principles. And one of the places which I want to really just look at is take some of the things which we find from the book of Deuteronomy, because the Bible tells us all scripture is given for inspiration, and we learn from scripture. And one of the great places to learn from scripture is the wilderness experience of the children of Israel. And we can look at that and we can see how we can apply some of these principles to us today so that you can take them to heart. Because what is our objective? What is our objective? Why do we come to church? Some people say we come to worship, and that's true. We worship the one who's upon the throne. But we've also got to come to church to learn the Word of God. Why do we need to learn the Word of God? Because you need to know God's ways. And that's the great thing about Moses. The Bible says about Moses, he knew God's ways. And I tell you, when you know God's ways, you also have God's power. And you don't need to have possessions, because whatever you need, it comes because you know his ways and you know his power. And so it's this moving from where we are to come to a place where we start to function the way that God wants us to function. And one of the things is the first verse of scripture, Deuteronomy 12, verse 1. And it says, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord thy God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you might live upon the earth. So it opens up and it tells us a very, very basic thing. God has order. God has an administration. God has order. God has statutes. God has principles. And unless we get to know these orders and statutes and principles and come into alignment from them, then we're not going to achieve anything. Now, statutes, well, they're the basic laws and ten. In the ancient days, the founder, the ruler, could give a permanent law. Nowadays, laws are done through legislatures. So we have the statutes, but then you have the judgments. God lays out patterns. God tells us how his kingdom operates. God unfolds to us the administration of his kingdom. So our goal is to understand, how does God move? What is the ways of God? Because we're on a journey to know him. Because the Bible says those who know their God will do exploits. And so we have this goal to run after, to seek after, to find the living God and to know his ways, so that we will walk in that place where we know his ways and we have the power of God. Now, it is to know and understand how God operates. To know his ways. That was a great thing about Moses. It stands out about everything else about the wilderness experience. You have Moses, he knows the ways of God. And by knowing the ways of God, he has power with God. And then you have everybody, basically everybody else, apart from a few individuals. You had the multitudes. What did the multitudes do? They looked, they saw, they seen the power of God. But they never came to a place where they knew God or had the power of God in their life. For 40 years, the children of Israel saw the power of God. For 40 years, they saw the miraculous deliverance from Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. Day and night, night and day, manna from heaven. The cloud by day, the fire by night. 40 years. Their shoes never ran, had to get a resole. Nothing, everything stayed. God moved miraculously. But the tragedy is, they died in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. But we don't want to be people who just see the power of God. Because the Bible says, those who know their God do exploits. So how do we get to know the Lord? Now in the New Testament, we come to the end of the book of Mark. And the Bible says, these things shall follow them that believe. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. These things shall follow them that believe. And of course, Mark is talking about the power of God. He's talking about casting out devils, healing the sick. He's talking about the manifestation of the power of God that you'll be... You're not only carrying, the Bible says, these things, they follow you. So think about this. If something is following you, then you don't need to go and seek it. If it's following you, you don't need to run after it. Now we go back to Moses. Moses knew the ways of God and had power with God. Moses could go up the mountain and have a conversation with God. He was in that place where the blessing of God was upon his life and it was following him. And then the Bible said, these things shall follow them that believe. So, if something is following us, we don't have to be running after to find it. If it's following us, then it's searching for us. And so this is an important principle, because if the acts of God follow you, then the blessing of God is upon your life. If the acts of God and you're getting used and they're following you and you're seeing the manifestation of the power of God, then the blessing of God is following you. And we want to be a people come into this place where the blessing of God is following us. And to do that, God has order and God has ways that things must be done. Now, if the blessing of God is not following after you, then the other side of the coin is you have to chase after the blessing of God. If something serves you, then it looks for you. In the natural realm, you see it all the time. If you look at this, all your pop stars, your football players, people who are loaded with money, big name people, they don't ever have to look for people. The fans all come out seeking for them, to run after them. The people who need things come after the people who can supply the need. And God is no different. God has come and he wants his people to be equipped and his people to be overflowing with his blessings, so that people will come to them for deliverance, for salvation, for healing, so that the power of God will meet that every need. And so it leaves us in this position. We're either having to chase after the blessings of God, or the blessings of God are chasing after us and following us. And it's a very basic principle. Now, God wants us to walk in his ways, in his statutes, in his laws, in the way that he has set up his kingdom. Because his kingdom has an administration. And so we learn the word of God, because what we want to do is bring our life into alignment with what the word of God says. The word of God is the rule book. The word of God is what reveals the ways of God. And so we come and we walk in his ways. In other words, we're looking to follow the standards, the patterns, the operation of the administration of God's kingdom. But then we walk in God's environment. What is God's environment? God's environment is the way that He thinks. God thinking. We want to have, in the New Testament, it tells us, let us have this mind of you, the mind of Christ. Renewing your mind, having the mind of Christ. And the Bible tells us, because we've got to remember, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And He looks to bless us. And so the Bible tells us to know His ways and to be in His environment, we need to start thinking the way that He thinks. And always remember, we are the sons and daughters of God, and God is more willing to bless us than we are to realize that He is. He really wants to bless us and to lift us up, because He is blessed when we trust in Him and know His ways. Now, we do this, if you think of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came to the point where he says, I must decrease, but Jesus must increase. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we do this in our life? When we are trying to bring our life into alignment with the environment, the thinking, the statutes, the way that God operates His kingdom. Apply it to your mind. You apply it to your mind because your mind is contaminated by the Adamic nature. It's the process where you start to change the way that you think. Our goal is to replace your old Adamic way of thinking and start to think like Jesus Christ. What do? We feed on the Word. We allow it to displace this old nature, the way we think. We meditate the Word. We go into the Word, we feast in the Word, it's the Word of God that comes in and renews our mind. And in Romans 12 and verse 1 to 2, it talks about being transformed in the renewing of your mind. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And it's a very interesting word, being transformed. Because in Matthew 17, 2, it talks about Jesus. And Jesus took three of His disciples and they went up the mountain. And the Bible says Jesus was transfigured before them. And it's the same root word as transformed. He was transformed in their midst. He was transformed from His natural state into an eternal state. And then when you go to the book of 2 Corinthians 3:18, the same word with transformed your mind is the same word when it's used there to be changed. And so the Lord is saying it's a transforming of your mind. From the natural to the spiritual, from the natural to the eternal. Because we're wanting to renew our mind and come into that thinking the way, because we want to live in that environment of God. And so we've got these, we want God order. And so we need to know His ways. Now God order is important. Think of David. He had a great desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And he made all the plans to bring it up. And in 1 Chronicles 15:13 we read, "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after due order." And so in this particular verse of Scripture, what it says, they wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. They wanted the Ark of the Covenant in the right place. They had good motives, they had good intentions. But God said, you made a breach. You never done it according to the order it should have been done in. You were too casual. I don't accept it. See, God's never going to lower His standards for any one of us. If we want to be in His ways, you're coming up to His standards. They said to David, not good enough. It wasn't done in due order. No, David was quite upset when one of the guys lost his life. But he learned a lesson. If you want things to be done and to achieve goals, you start to look, what is the order, Lord, that I need to do this in? And then do it correctly. And once you've done it correctly, The ark came up to Jerusalem and the people were rejoicing. So that is God's kingdom, has God's statutes, plans, and there's order to it. And we come to study the word of God, to know the word of God, to know what order things fix in. There's another instance, you know, there's other instances we could look at, and I might just come about to God's order. But let's just carry on. Deuteronomy 11:8 says, "Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day." Why do you want to keep the commandments? And he goes on to say, "That ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it." So God is saying, I want you to keep my order in your mind. I want you to keep before you my ways, how I do things, so that when you come into the land to possess the land, that you're going to have the blessing of God upon your life. Now let's bring it up to date. What does land speak about? It speaks about inheritance. Land speaks about possession. Land speaks about where you're going to have your roots. Land speaks about your visions, where are your dreams. Land speaks all about all of those things. But if you don't own the land, then whoever owns it can come and say, I want you to do this, you can't do that. No, 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 I'm not going to let you go. Stay here any longer. So if you don't own it and you're not a possessor, then you are in that place where you're under dictation and you're under a whole other set of rules. A simple thing today, nowadays, anybody buys a house. You can buy a house, but you will never own the mineral rights in the ground below that house. And so now this, and so God says to the people, I want you to keep my due order in your mind. I want that to be at the forefront when you go into this land, and to be strong. And I'm going to bless you when you go in there. But notice what happens when you go into the land. God did not hand the land to them. He never said, there's a land, go in and sit. He never handed them. They had to go in and possess the land. It was their possession, but they had to apply the promises of God and to take it to heart and to go in and to warfare over that land and to take possession of it. And if you don't possess the land, as I said, you're not the owner. You're subject to all of those things. And so we have to learn another principle. You have to apply the promises of God. You've got to know his ways, his due order. And you have to be able to come into alignment with him to have his thinking so that you know his ways and you have the power of God working with you. You need to have know that due order so that, and then you take the promises of God. And you work with the promises of God and you press in with the promises of God. So in the Bible, they're full of promises. And you get to know the word of God, you take the word of God. And sometimes you have to battle for a long time with the word of God. You might get a prophetic word. And what happens with prophetic words? Sometimes they're parked for years. But there's always a time, if you want the fulfillment, you have to battle with them and press in and hold to them until they come into fruition. So the promises of God are there. There's great promises in the scripture, but you have to take a hold of them. And they're all basic principles that we need to achieve if we're going to do things in the kingdom of God. And notice what it says to them. The promise is, wherever you go, possess it. Wherever you go, possess it. We could say, whatever is your vision today, you might have it. Whatever your vision is, go after it. God does not necessarily feed every minute detail. Think about the disciples. Jesus had 12 disciples. And he taught them for a period of about 3.5 years. But what they said to him was, they were sent, but notice what Jesus says, wherever you go, wherever you go. And then he gives the boundaries of where that is, going into the whole world. You know, so when he says, the promise is, where you go to possess the land, apply the promises of God. You have the promises of God to move forward. You have the promises of God to achieve your goals. And our goal at the end of the day is to know God. To know him and the power of his resurrection. He is risen from the dead. And the thing about the scriptures, it tells us people that are going to be risen from the dead. Or the dead's going to be raised for the judgment last day. But the promises of God have got to be taken and applied to our life. We also, and go back to again, these promises in God's order, they're mixed in all the time. Because even when you go to it, through the book of Exodus, in chapter 14, it comes to the sacrifices and the service in the temple. It was always done in order. Nothing was ever haphazard or casual. In Exodus 40:23, when they set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, and then verse 24, then they put the candlesticks in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle. So there were specific places, there was specific order that everything had to be done in. And so it teaches us and reinforces to us that God is a God of order, and he brings order out of chaos. And he's a God who not only brings the God of order, but he's a God that's saying, I want you to know me. Come into my presence so that you will know me, know the way that I think, so that you will have power. So that you are, and that's why when the disciples when they're sent out, these signs shall fall, because they had power. The anointing, the blessing of God was upon them. And think of also Elijah when he was up in the mountain. And then when he sets out the altar for the sacrifice, he took the stones and he put them in their place. He took the wood and he placed it in order. Everything was done to the specification for the fire to come down. So we have a God, if I just can summarize this, we have to a God who's a God of order. And we can know the blessings of God following us, or we have to chase after the blessings. David and the people, they wanted to do things right. But they stumbled because they never knew the order in which to do it. To achieve our goal, we need to know the way God wants things to be done. To achieve our goal, we need to see the promises of God being applied. And that also means that we have to come into maturity. Before you come into a place where you can rule over something, God looks to see how you handle small things. It's another principle of the Word of God. You're never given something big. He gives you something small. That's why it says, do not despise the day of small things. We have the story of the talents in Scripture. Each individual was given different talents, and each individual was expected to use their talents. Don't stop. Everyone was expected to use what they were given. The talents belong to the Lord. He is interested in what we do with what he gives us. And our responsibility as stewards of these talents is to be faithful. notice, if you're faithful in little, God is going to make you a ruler of much. When you're faithful in the little, then the other side is, if you're found faithful, then God will make you a ruler. And it takes us back again, doesn't it? If you are the possessor or you're the owner, you're the ruler. If you are the person with the blessings of God, people are coming to you. If you're the person with the blessings and the power of God, walking in the ways of God, then the anointing of God is going to be there. And people are going to come seeking you because they're looking to be healed. They're looking for a word of God. They're looking for the blessings of God. They'll come to you because you have what they need. And so, another principle is that God will give you a little to see how faithful you're going to be. And if he finds you faithful, he'll make you a ruler. It is the principles of God that we're looking at today. Because we want to be people who know their God. And people who the blessing of God is upon. So that you don't have to go rushing out to get chasing after people for things, but they're going to come to you. You don't need to go out and stand in the corner to preach healing because the people will be coming. There's healing takes place at that place. We know where the power of God is resting. We know where things are flowing. And so people come to the river. And it's a principle of God. It's the principles of God that we want to see in action in our life. And so it does not. So if you do not exercise the authority to rule, you're not also going to see results. And so that's another principle. So in the exercise of the authority that is given to us, that we see results. Why do we pray for the sick? Because we know God has given us authority. Yeah. Why do we see results? Because that's what we expect. We've just had a testimony this morning from somebody we know quite well in one of the countries away in the parts of the world where few people go. But God is good. And so it's the principles that we need to. And the crucial point is, if you receive the rule over something, then God has given you power. If you receive the rule over something, then you've been given power. And Moses in the wilderness, he had power. He had power to stand before God. And God says, take away your people. He said, no. He said, they're not my people, they're your people. You're not going to throw that responsibility to me. He had power with God. He knew God's ways. We need to change our mindset. God wants us to come into a place that we might know him and the blessings of God to be flowing from our life. In the New Testament, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said to them, "You are stewards of the mysteries of God. You are stewards of the mysteries of God." So they had to know what all these mysteries were. And if they were stewards of them, you're stewards of them. It's come down the line. Why were they given stewards of it? So that they would pass it on from one generation to the next. Because what were they? There were principles, there were things about the kingdom of God, the way God operates. And so, as we come to a close today, principles are important for us to go places. And the very, very basic principles that we need to learn is God has order. And if we can understand that God has order and take the principles that we see and with Moses and apply them today in our situation, then we will start to move forward in greater measure. And we'll no longer have to chase after things, but the blessings chasing us. We need to learn to apply and to press in for the promises. We need to learn the basic principles. When you're given something to do, you're faithful in what you've got to do. And never despise the day of small things. Faithfulness means dependability. It means a whole host of things. We see all these things. And there's another thing about the Word of God. See, in the wilderness, the Bible says God tested them. He wanted to know where their heart was. He tested them. So these are all principles. And some of these principles are really basic principles. But they're very powerful principles that we need to take a hold of so that we will start to move in the things of the Holy Spirit. Because there's a big world out there, and we don't have the power to run here, there, and everywhere. It's easier for God just to say, that's where the blessing is, and people come. And when you're walking with God, people seek you out. That is a fundamental principle. When you're walking and the blessing of God is upon your life, people will seek you out. So we want to be people that the blessing of God is upon. So that when people have needs and problems and difficulties, they are going to come looking for you because you have an answer. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things we can learn from your word. And Father, we ask for the quickening of the Holy Ghost. Father, that quickening in our spirits. Lord, so that the things which you have laid out, the principles in your word, Lord, will become alive to us, that we may take hold of them and grasp them and to run after you. But we ask it for your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.